Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as we continue on in a message that I began on Monday about our new covenant, a better covenant based upon better promises. And we were reviewing the actual steps that took place in biblical times when two parties decided to make a covenant together. And they're very fascinating because we see that God went through the same steps, that for Him it's a very serious affair. Just as He swore to Abraham, he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man he should repent. And so when God makes a covenant, it is something that is established in the heavens. For example, when He spoke to Noah, and He said this was a sign of the covenant, that rainbow, that He would never again destroy the earth with a flood. You can rest on that. That will never happen again. Now, He will make and create a new heaven and a new earth after the millennial kingdom, and Satan and his cohorts are forever confined to the burning lake of fire. But He will do that probably with intense heat. It says the heavens shall melt, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth in which there will not even be the memory of any sin and unrighteousness. Isn't that a beautiful prospect? Amen. So let us now go and return to what was done in establishing a covenant. The first one was an exchange of robes, and the second was an exchange of belts, which held the weapons, and the third was an animal sacrifice. And if at any point in time, if you're a new listener, if you would like to rehear a broadcast, or if you've missed one, please feel free to go to unveilchrist.org and click on the broadcast, and they're archived there at your convenience anytime you choose to listen. Now, going back to the animal sacrifice, we know the animal was divided in two, and then the two parties did a figure eight. They walked, they were back to back, then they ended up face to face. And we know that that spoke of the sacrifice that Jesus did. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. And our part of that is that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And then, as far as that sacrifice of the animal, the two parties then completed this ritual by making a vow. This is a really hairy vow, but it says, God deals with me if I try to break this covenant. You can split me right down in the middle and feed me to the vultures because I've tried to break the most sacred of all agreements. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? However, it shows how serious the vow, the covenant, is, that it was, there was never, that it was binding to death. Now, let's go on to the fourth aspect, or the fourth sign, or the fourth part of establishing that covenant, and that was the exchange of blood. There was not only an animal sacrifice, there was an exchange of blood. Both parties cut the covenant by cutting their palms, and they actually used a quill pen to draw their own blood with which to sign the covenant. You don't get any more serious than that. The life is in the blood. Then they put their hands together, and through the mixing of blood, they became blood brothers. And in secret societies, when one defaults, the other possesses the right to punish or even to kill the offending party. The intermingling of blood symbolizes, it has a deep significance, it's no longer two lives, but one life. And so, beloved, when we take communion, remembering the Lord's sacrifice, or we plead the blood of Jesus against, against the works of darkness, whatever, we are actually enforcing God's covenant. And we're basically saying, devil, if you fight against me, you're fighting against my elder brother who defeated you over 2,000 years ago. And so doesn't that make you feel much more secure? You're not fighting this battle alone. You've got an elder brother who is with you to fight our battles. Praise God. Jesus shed his blood, didn't he? He shed his blood on the cross. And what are the wounds that we suffer? Well, that which we endure and experience in serving God, the trials, the persecutions. In Zechariah 13 and 6, the prophet Zechariah had a vision of himself telling the angel that his wounds are the result of what he suffered in the household of his brothers. And of course, there's messianic implications to that. But there is a price to pay. That's why Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself. There's a cost. There's a price to pay in serving the Lord. And I think preachers do a disservice, or not just preachers, anyone, if we present to the unsaved that just serving Christ is just a bed of roses, that all their problems will be over. Well, the most serious of their problems, where they're going to spend eternity, will be over. But we have to expect that trials and tribulations are a part of this life, and we need to be honest and truthful. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, because no matter what we endure in this life, beloved, just stop right now. I don't know what battle you're facing, but just think. Time is passing, and a time is coming when it will be no more, at least as we know it, although it does talk in the scripture about months and seasons, and for example, the tree of life every month will have new fruit. So there is some keeping of time, but not time as we know it. And we shall be free from the bondage of sin and death, and there will be a wonderful new creation. We'll be with the Lord, and the wicked and the evil person we put out from the earth. That's the meek shall inherit the earth. That's something to get excited about. Praise God. The darker the times get, the more I rejoice in what's before us, as should you. The scriptures say, comfort one another with these words, that the Lord is coming back for us. If he went to leave, prepare a place, he's coming back. Praise God. And that day is approaching very soon. All right. There is, of course, now the fourth thing was the exchange of blood. And the fifth is the exchange of names. This is very fascinating. Abram, that was his name. God took the letter H from his name, Yahweh, and he added it to Abram's, changing his name to Abraham, the father of a multitude. And Abraham took God's name, and God took Abraham's name. That day, think about this, God refers to himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He took Abraham's name. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's what, you know, the burning bush experience, Moses, that's what the Lord told him. And when we become Christians, we take Christ into our names. Praise God. All right, moving on. What is another sign of that covenant? Well, because not only of the animal sacrifice, there was an exchange of blood, there were scars that were left. And that was a permanent reminder of the covenant. And, beloved, I don't know if you have read any testimonies or books of people that have perhaps died and come back to this earthly life, or they haven't died, they've just gone to heaven. If they've seen Jesus, there's a repeated concurrence of the statement that when they saw Jesus, he had scars in his hands and his feet, and he continues to bear those scars as the result of that covenant that he made with us. And of course, when we see and think and meditate upon his wounds, they remind us of our responsibilities as well as God's promises. And when we remind the devil that Jesus bore those wounds for us, we're saying to the devil that we have a permanent covenant with Jesus and with our Father in heaven. By his stripes, we are healed. By those nail-scarred hands and the wounds that were inflicted upon his feet. Remember Thomas? He wasn't there when Jesus initially appeared to the disciples after his ascension, and he said, I'm not going to believe unless I put my hands into the imprint of the wound in his side, into his hands and feet. And Jesus appeared, and he said, Thomas, go ahead. and he showed them. He said, I'm not a spirit, but I think it was always so delightful. He asked for something to eat. Praise God. Well, all right. So we see that there was an exchange of names. And then moving on to another aspect of the covenant, there was a giving of the terms of the covenant. There were the exchange of names, the scars that were a permanent reminder, and then there were the actual terms. And that was an exchange of assets and liabilities involved. The vow actually consisted of, my assets are yours, my properties, money, and possession are yours. Whatever I have belongs to you as well. If you need anything, just ask. At the same time, all my liabilities are yours. If I get in trouble, you'll help me out. And what a beautiful aspect of covenant this is for us, because we possess, as joint heirs with Jesus Christ, all that he possesses, all that heaven possesses is ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And if we have, all things are yours, Paul said. Everything that God has done, it's like the prodigal son and the elder son. The prodigal son was restored. He was given a robe and a ring, but the elder brother, the father told him, everything I have is yours. Likewise, God possesses all of me, my time, my talents, money, abilities, and as New Testament believers, Jesus owns everything we have, not just our tithe. Everything we have is his. Our time, money, abilities, our very life belongs to him. We've been bought with a price. We're not our own. We're his. Well, on that note, I'll bring this broadcast to a close, and we'll look forward to continuing on tomorrow's broadcast as we talk about the covenant meal. Thank you for joining me, and if you have prayer needs, I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.